Thanks for listening to this sermon from Redemption Church, Calgary North. We exist to see lost people saved, saved people matured, and mature people multiplied, all to the glory of God. For more information, visit us online at redemption.ca.
Well, for the sake of those who are visiting with us today for the baptisms, I just want to kind of review what we've been doing as a church and kind of tell you where we're going today. When we started on September 7th, this new ministry year, we stopped and just asked ourselves, like, who is the church? Who makes up the church? Clearly, there are a lot of places that have church on the sign, but maybe aren't truly a part of the church. How do you determine what is the church? Can we just say I'm a part of the church? That's how I become a part of the church. I just attend a service each week, and now I'm a part of the church. Well, what we found is that there is this miracle that we've been talking about today that is needed in order for you to truly be a part of the church. In order for you to truly be a part of the church, that you need to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to be bought out of your own slavery of sin that you might become a servant of God. You need to be changed from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. And if you're in Christ this morning, you are a part of Christ's church. It turns out there is one church, truly one church, meeting in different locations around our country and around the world, but there is only one church, and we're one as brothers and sisters in Christ. This is the beautiful thing that we have when we first come to faith in him. And then God gives us gifts and abilities to serve one another. And I pray for those of us who are in this church, even this morning, as you came, you're like, okay, God, where do you want me to serve? How do you want me to be a blessing to others? I'm a part of this body, and so that means that I'm necessary to be there to strengthen and help this body. It's not just coming and receiving, although we do receive, it's also coming and giving. And so I pray, if that wasn't your heart and attitude this morning, God help us, right? And I just say, starts on Saturday night, okay? God, prepare our hearts for gathering tomorrow morning. If it's like Netflix till 3 a.m. and you're, you know, everyone's tired and dragging themselves out of bed and you know, the kind of, that you're setting yourself up for failure, okay? So praying, God help us, now we gather. So that's who the church is. And as this last 3 weeks, what we've been doing is say, okay, if that's the church, what does God require of his church? What are some things that we can say for sure this is needed in order to be a faithful church? Well, the first week, we talked about bold preaching, the fact that the Word of God is our authority. There is no other authority. You may not like what it says in here, but know this, it is the truth, and it is the Word of God, and it is the authority over us. It is that which we will all be held accountable to on Judgment Day. And so we want to proclaim what this book actually says from the pulpit, but we also want to do that in our backyards during a barbecue or with family or whatever the case might be. We want to be speaking God's truth. And that particular week, that was the week that Charlie Kirk had been assassinated. And we just use that as a highlight to say, we can't be quiet anymore. And I pray that over this last few weeks, you're like, okay, that's my testimony. I by God's grace, I'm being more bold with the truth, and it's going to directly relate to what we're talking about today. 2 weeks ago, we talked about strategic church planning, and that if we are to be a faithful church, we ought to be going into the world, seeing people saved. Those people then are matured, and as they're matured, then we're more multiplied. And as they're multiplied, there's this necessity that some of you will be sent out from this place to see other churches planted, to see other works developed, whether it's here in Canada or around the world. This is what Christ has done with his church for the last 2,000 years. That's why, you know, we're nowhere close to Jerusalem, right? Okay? And not by location, nor by time 2,000 years ago when Christ came, and yet there are many of you in this room who know Christ. How did that happen? It's through the spreading of the gospel, and God uses his church to do so. And so strategic church planning, by the way, Hope Bible Church Hamilton is launching today, okay? And so we're going to celebrate them. Yeah, that's great. Let's do that, right? And we're praying today that as they gather, that the believers are encouraged and that lost people are saved and that they'll also have to do a baptism service right away because God is doing a work there. And we're going to pray for them in just a moment. And then last week, we talked about the importance of fervent prayer. A lot of churches talk about, pray. We all say, we all lip service. We say that we believe in prayer, but do you pray? That's the key. Is it the thing that you turn to before anything else? Do you understand that this body will be strengthened or weakened based on our prayers? That's what we learned in Philippians chapter 1. If we're not praying for one another, we're going to have a weak church. People wrestling continually. If we're praying for one another, what it tells us is that we are strengthened in the faith. And Paul says, and I will be saved. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. And so that, through the prayers of the saints and the help of the Holy Spirit, we are then saved. By the way, I forgot to do this first service, so now you have to go tell everybody at the first service. But Tuesday night, prayer and worship. Every first Tuesday, prayer and worship, going to be meeting at Grace City on 64th, and we're going to pray together from 6:30 to 8. Child care provided, no excuses, okay? We try to everything we can to take away excuses so that we might, be able to gather together for the power of prayer together. And we're going to be praying specifically for one another at that time, okay? So don't forget about that. This Sunday, three down. If you've been at the church, there's six, okay? So this is number four, courageous evangelism. Courageous evangelism. Anyone here, courage, I guess. I mean, I just share my faith with anyone and have no problem doing it. Anyone, is that your testimony? Okay, there's a spiritual war going on and there's this fear of man that creeps in and what ifs and all these kinds of things. And so even the Apostle Paul says, pray for me that I would proclaim the word with boldness. Even Paul, who we best missionary ever category, right? Even he was asking for prayer. And so we're all on the same page here. It's hard, but we've all been called to do it. If you're in Christ, you're called to evangelize. And so that takes courage. And I want us to bring it back to where's our source for courage. As we're going to look this morning, we're going to see one, it's through the power of the Spirit that we are able to do what God calls us to do. And then secondly, because of the resurrection, we must tell people about Christ and what he's done. So we're going to be looking at John chapter 20. Before we do, let me just pray for us and then we're going to get into his word. Lord God, so thankful for this time together this morning. Lord, we praise you that you are a God who saves. Every single believer here this morning understands that it was not because we were good people that you saved us, but while we were still sinners, Christ, you died for us, that we might be reconciled to the Father, that we might live for you for all of our days. God, I thank you for every child of God here this morning. And God, I want to pray for those who right now they're enemies of you. They don't know you. They might know about you, but they've never repented of their sin. They've never placed their trust in you. God, I pray that even this morning, would you be gracious to them? Would you call them to yourself? Would you grant them faith to believe? And Lord, would you lead them in the way everlasting? God, what this baptism symbolism of from death to life, I pray that even that would come true in their life today, though they be dead in their sin, that by the time the service is over, they would be alive in you. God, only you can do that. So we ask that you would lead this preacher now as we look at your word together. God, help him to preach in such a way that you would be honored and glorified. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, everybody needs a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, go ahead and slip up your hand. Normally, we will read the whole text and then we'll get into it. But for the sake of time this morning, we're just going to get straight into it. John chapter 20, flip there in your Bibles, John chapter 20. And we're going to be going through verses 11 through 31. And as we do, we're going to see three different pictures of the power of the resurrection. We're going to see what Mary and what she was going through and how the resurrection impacted her life. We're going to see the disciples and what they were going through and how the resurrection impacted their life. And then we're going to see Thomas and his doubts that he was experiencing and how the resurrection overcame that as well. So how does the resurrection impact a person's life? First, it takes you from anxiety to adoration. From anxiety to adoration. This is what we see with Mary. Now, just a little bit of context. Of course, Christ has been crucified on the Friday. There's the Sabbath day where they're not able to do anything. But on Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene had wanted to go and to anoint the body of Christ for burial. It was an honoring thing to do. It had not been able to do it properly. And she thought, I'm going to be the person who does that. And so before it's even light, she goes to the tomb, but the stone has been rolled away. And so there's only one conclusion that she can come to. Somebody stole the body. Somebody stole the body. That has to be what has happened. And so she runs to the disciples. Peter and John come. They look in the tomb. They see that his linen cloths are on the ground. That there's this cloth that was put on his head. It's been folded up and put off to the side. But they don't understand what's happening either. And they go back home, and Mary is left behind. And this is what we see in verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. All right, Peter and John now have left. She's left alone. And there's this picture of, she's not just like, you know, tears rolling down her eyes. It's a picture of sobbing, of uncontrollable grief. All the events of these last few days, she's just feeling the weight of them. And the one thing that she thought maybe she could still do for her Lord has been ripped away now that his body is gone. And so she's just searching for answers. I don't know if you've had a time like this in your life where you're so controlled by grief, you don't even know what you're doing. And there's this picture of Mary like this as we see her in the garden, and she's looking down, and you couldn't just walk into the tomb. He had to bend down to get in. And so she bends down to look in to the tomb. This is what she's doing. She's likely trying to figure out, okay, is there any clues as to who took the body of Jesus? Is there something that could tell me what's happening here? As she looks into the tomb, it's not empty anymore. Verse 12, she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." How much grief is Mary in? Well, she sees two angels, and she's not impacted by that whatsoever. Okay? You go through the entire scriptures, people see angels, they're on their faces, they're like, "What in the world?" Right? She sees the angels like, "Maybe you guys can tell me what's going on," right? Like, she does not see this as a clue from God in any way, like, "Hey, your theory of him being dead, maybe it's wrong." Okay? She doesn't think that. Why? Because one out of one people, when they die, they stay dead. Now, to be fair, Mary had seen one other guy raised from the dead, but who was that? Who was that? Lazarus. But how did that happen? Through the one who had been killed. So she has no expectation that he is going to rise again. And so she sees the angels. She's like, "Guys, can you help me out here? Do you know where the body of Jesus is?" She's so fixated on this one thing. Isn't that what anxiety does? Like anybody here been anxious before? Is there anyone? Okay, most of you are listening. Okay. I don't think there's anyone who's like, "No, never experienced it. Don't know what that feeling is." Now, we have different levels, right? But there are times where you go to sleep, you're thinking about that thing, you wake up, you're thinking about that thing. And you no matter what you try throughout the day, it's just there continually. And for Mary, it was like, okay, she sees Christ crucified as she goes to bed that night. Okay, I know what I can do. I know I can go and I can anoint his body. I'm not sure exactly how I'm going to do it. I don't even know how I'm going to roll the stone away, but I'm going to see this happen. And so she's just fixated on this. But for us, it could be any number of things. Maybe it's a relational problem. And there's a lack of forgiveness or You know, you're a single guy and you're like, man, I really want her to like me as much as I like her. And you know, you can be consumed with these things. That's all you can think about. Sometimes it's financial, right? End of the month's coming. All the bills are coming. I don't have enough money. Every day as I get closer, I know that I don't have enough. How is this going to get fixed? And you can't think about anything else. Sometimes it's a health issue. I mean, Jasmine, I'm sure when their family first got the diagnosis, like, okay, what does this mean? What are her prospects? What's the procedure? How will she be able to survive leukemia? And necessarily so, they're thinking about this a whole lot. But sometimes these things can be the only thing you can think of, so that even when God is there and he's trying to bless you, i.e. angels in the tomb, you miss it. You're so fixated on the thing you're anxious about that you miss Jesus. And this is exactly what's going to happen with Mary. He's about to show up, but she misses it. Look at verse 14. Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Why is she turning around? We don't know. Like, are the angels kind of looking past her to something? And she's like, what are you guys looking at? Okay, and she sees it's Jesus. Does she hear him walk up? We're not told for sure. All we are told is that she turns and sees this man, and it's Jesus, but she doesn't see it. And again, that's what anxiousness can do. God is there in the midst. Jesus is with you. He is close to the brokenhearted. His faithfulness is great. His love is steadfast. But you, in your anxiousness, you have trouble seeing that. And can I just say this morning that those things are true, what I've just said. He's always with us. And so he tells us to cast all our anxieties on him, knowing that he cares for us. He tells us not to be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, to cast your cares upon him. Do you do that? This morning, if you find that you're just continually wrestling, then you take it. If you need to take it to him 100 times today, you take it to him 100 times today. Trusting in him. Lord, you say that if I'm your child, that anything that is going on in my life, that Lord, you're going to use it for good. That you're going to conform me into the image of your son somehow, and that you're going to bring glory through this to yourself. I don't know how. I'm just a finite human, but I trust you. You think about all the lament psalms. One-third of the psalms are like this, that the person comes to God and says, life's not good. It's super hard. I don't get what you're doing, God. They just tell him. By the way, God knows what you're thinking, whether you're praying or not. So why not then instead take your wrestlings to him? And here's what we see in the pattern of Scripture. As you do that, you get your eyes on him. And you see that he's so much greater than your problem, whatever your problem might be. And that you can trust him to carry you through. And so cast your anxieties on him. Jesus is here, but she can't see it. She knows he's dead. She's convinced of it. Then Jesus says to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? Anybody here think that Jesus doesn't know who she's seeking? Okay, he knows. Like, hint, hint, it's me. But Mary, supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him and I will take him away. Listen, I'm not even angry. I'm not even angry. If you've taken his body, can you just tell me where it is so that I can go care for Jesus' corpse? That's all I'm asking. Could you at least do that? Again, you just see this picture of desperation. I have to complete the task for which I've come. And I'm not going to let anything dissuade me. Not even the fact that Jesus is risen, okay? But then I love how Jesus deals with her. Jesus said to her, verse 16, Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabboni, Rabboni, teacher. There's just this beautiful picture here. She's like frantic, right? Even now, she's like over here, and when she hears the voice, she has to turn to look to him because she's just frantic, trying to figure out what, but now she finally hears his voice. She'd heard him say, Mary, in that voice many times before. Mary Magdalene, whom had seven demons living within her, had been, they'd been cast out by Christ. She'd set free from her sin and her darkness, and then she and other ladies just followed Jesus and the disciples around to minister to their needs. And this woman had been there to the when Jesus breathed his last, and she'd seen him carried away, and now she's the first one to the tomb on this morning, and Jesus shows himself to her in such a beautiful way. He called her name. It says in John 10, verses 3 and 4, the sheep hear my voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And I love that as I look around, that there's so many here, I know that God has called your voice. Called your name with his voice. And he's just like, Joel, I'm your savior. And he woke you. Mike, I'm your savior. Follow me. Brent, I've saved you. Follow me. And your life was at a blender, most of you, you know, by God's grace, some of these children have not had to go through the blender time, okay? They've had to grow and to understand and grow into their faith, and they had this childlike faith that needed to become their own. But some of you, your life was a train wreck. And then all of a sudden, you just hear this, Sally, I love you, and I've died for you. And it just, all of a sudden, you finally hear it, you finally see it, by his grace, by his mercy, and then you confess your sin and you follow him. It's this incredible thing. And this is what, you know, for Mary, she had been following him, but she did not know that he was the resurrected Lord. And now she knows. And Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. She's like, we don't know exactly. We're not giving all the details. All we know is she's clinging to him, right? It's like, is she on her knees, like arms wrapped around his legs? Is she just hugging him? Like, we don't know. All we know is like, Jesus, okay, that's great. Stop clinging to me. I got some work for you to do. And during this 40 days, things are different. Things are different. From Christ's resurrection to the time he ascends, we're going to see in a moment, he just shows up in buildings, even though they're locked, okay? And he has this supernatural power is seen in a different way after resurrection. And before he left, listen, he says this, it's better that I leave than I stay. Which is hard for us to understand. Like, wouldn't it be great to have just Jesus right here with us? Well, here's the great thing. He is here with us, but he lives within us through the power of the Holy Spirit today. And so he's like, and we're going to see the significance of that in just a moment. But he's like, Mary, I got something I want you to do. Go to my brothers. Like, just like put yourself in Jesus' shoes. Is that what you're calling these guys? The guys who abandoned you? Just a few days before, you're calling them brothers. They're like, oh, maybe eventually I'd get there, but right? But he's there because he's God and he's so full of grace and mercy and compassion. And he says, go tell them that I'm about to ascend to my Father, your Father, to my God, your God. I'm about to go there. And guess what? After 40 days on this earth, after showing himself to many disciples, in fact, one time we're told in Corinthians that 500 at one time he showed himself to. Then he ascended to the right hand of the Father and he's sitting there right now and he's anticipating his return. And we're one day closer today than we were yesterday to his return and it's coming soon. Not a specific date as opposed to what you might have seen on social media recently, okay? Anybody tells you they're coming, like Jesus is coming on that day, you can be guaranteed he's not coming on that day. Jesus said, no one knows the day or hour, but he does tell us this, be ready, be ready. And I pray that this morning you're ready and that you love Jesus as much as we see Mary loving Jesus here. And so Mary, she runs to the house, and Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I've seen the Lord. Hey, mystery solved. Remember, we're trying to figure out where's his body? Well, his body's walking around because he's alive. Nobody stole it away. He has risen. That was probably a pretty fun meeting together, okay? And can I just encourage us that we get to do that? That we get to go around and tell people he is risen? Like that should encourage our hearts this morning. Mary is such a model to what our lives ought to look like. Someone who, after becoming saved, follows Jesus, and she's the last one at the tomb. Last one at the cross, first one at the tomb. And Jesus chooses to show himself to her. I love what Ryle says here. Those who love Christ most diligently and perseveringly are those who receive most privileges from Christ's hand. Those who honor Christ will be honored by him. So, believer, are you anxious this morning? Perhaps it's because you have spent too little time seeking the Savior. Get your heart and mind set apart on him and see your anxiety turned into adoration. And he will guide you and give you wisdom, grace, and strength by the power of his Spirit to continue on. I love how we see Mary go from anxiousness to adoration, and then that adoration going to proclamation. Like, that should be our heart's motivation. We want to tell people about Jesus because of our love for him, because we're worshipers of him, right? I mean, think about the things that you tell other people during the week, right? I took up pottery. Look at my pottery, right? Like, does anybody really care about your pottery? Probably not. But you're still telling them, right? Like, things you love, you tell other people about. There's probably a whole lot of talk about Blue Jays, you know, going around, like all that. Like, we talk about that stuff. Why not talk about the one who is awesome in every way, the risen Savior? Like, that we should be talking about continually. So let Mary be an example to us, anxiety to adoration. Secondly, we see that the power of the resurrection takes us from fear to faith, from fear to faith. John continues the account of what's happened. Likely Mary, before noon, she's been to the home with the disciples. And now it's evening, verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Is that what you have said? First thing. When you see the disciples, well, they're there. Why? They're huddled in this room with the doors locked. Why? Because they think that their lives are in jeopardy. They've heard from Mary that Christ is risen, but the implications of that, they're still wrestling with that. And they think that their number one concern right now is that the Jews are going to come and they're going to arrest them and also have them killed. That's what they're worried about. So they're in this room, and as Jesus comes in, the first thing he says is, peace be with you. Not, probably didn't think you'd see me again, obviously. You all ran away on Friday, right? Peter, you said you wouldn't. What did you do, Peter? He doesn't say that, does he? Aren't you so thankful that God's not like us, that Christ is not like us? Like, amen. So he says, Jesus, peace be with you. My peace that's purchased for you through the blood of Christ, it's for you. You now have peace with God, the Father, through my blood. You now have peace with one another because of my sacrifice. You do not need to worry. You do need not to fear. I am with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Like, there's probably a little bit like, okay, peace be with you, but is he a ghost? Like, are we all kind of imagining this? You know, all these different theories that tried to take away from the reality of the resurrection. Oh, like, it was mass hallucination. Yeah, like, you can, hallucination such that everybody's reaching out and touching the body of Christ. Like, that's, sure, that's what's going on here. Like, all these theories are ridiculous. They take way more faith than what the actual truth is. But Satan likes to twist and to turn and try to lead us away from the actual truth. But the truth is that as he comes in, he says, listen, here's my scars, guys. It's me. It really is me. I know you guys, yeah, I told you I was going to rise again, but you guys didn't believe. But I'm here. Here's the scars. These are actually marks of victory now. Scars on my hands, the piercing of my side, they are now marks of the fact that I have overcome sin and Satan and death. They have been defeated. He is the resurrected Lord. He's fulfilling what he had told them in John 16:22. John 16:22, he had told them on that Thursday night, so also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. No one will take your joy from you. When they see them, they are glad, and this joy remains to be theirs from that moment until they breathe their last. All of them, except for maybe John, breathing their last because they had been killed for their faith, martyred for their faith. But no one could take the joy away from them because they seen the resurrected Lord. And then he says in verse 21, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. In case you didn't catch it the first time, my peace is with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. Okay? Time to roll up your sleeves, guys. As the Father sent me to this earth to live and do the will of the Father, now I am sending you. When we think about that term, the body of Christ, why do we use that term, the body of Christ? Because now we are the hands and feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head, and he sends us out into the world. As he has sent the disciples here, he is sending you and I, everyone who's a child of God, he sends us on mission for him. There are no set apart ones when it comes to this mission. There's no one like, okay, like, listen, you're just a lukewarm Christian. Don't worry about it. Like, you're not sent. Like, you're on the bench for all your Christian walk. Anybody think that's true? Everybody has a job to do. Everyone. And by the way, if you're riding the bench, likely you're not growing in your faith. If you're not sharing Christ, if you're not serving one another, you're probably really concerned about where your walk with God is at right now. Well, your walk with God is in the place it is because you're not walking in obedience to the things he tells you to do. So he says, I'm sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this is one of those parts where like we could spend like the rest of the service talking about this phrase, okay? And you know, if you've been in the church for very long, you're like, oh, okay, like, okay. It says receive the Spirit here, but like, what about in Acts? Like, that's when they received the Spirit, right? Like, so why is he saying receive the Holy Spirit? Can I just say, I think this is a symbolic gesture to say this. You need the Spirit of God. In Luke 24, just before he ascends, this is day one before his ascension, day 40, just before he leaves, he says, and behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And then we see in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them, and they're never the same. These same guys, they were kind of like hiding in this room, fear of the Jews. By the time the Spirit of God comes upon them, they don't care. You want to kill us? No problem. Hey, stop talking about Jesus. Well, you know, we respect you as the authorities over us, but just so you know, we're going to continue to preach Christ. And if you got to throw us in jail, you got to kill us, whatever, right? Like, what happened? The Spirit of God came upon them. That's what happened. And if you're in Christ today, you have the Spirit of God living within you. You like, how did Paul do what he did? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. How did Peter do it? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. How will you proclaim Christ to a lost and dying world? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the only way you can do it. All your personal efforts will fail. But praise God, he's given us his Spirit. And then he's given us this mission, verse 23. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Again, people love to take verses out of context and like, oh, that sounds like a kind of a powerful thing to have in the back pocket as a church. All right, who wants to be forgiven? We'll start with the highest bidder, right? You just give us money and we're happy to say you're forgiven. Are they forgiven? Well, that church is probably not going to be a church for long if that's what they're doing. But if they're declaring forgiveness based on what God's word says, then as representatives of Christ, we can do that. So Matthew chapter 18, Andrew's in sin. Okay, he's not, okay, I'm just using him as an illustration because he's unfortunately sitting on the front row for him, right? So I'm using his name, but I come to Andrew, I was like, hey man, I see there you're walking in sin. You should repent of that. And Andrew's like, who are you? I don't care. I'm doing what I want to do. Okay. So then I go and I grab Michael and we come and we talk to Andrew again. He's like, guys, like, get lost. I told you I'm staking where I'm at. And so then Matthew 18 tells us, then you tell the church. And the church then says, hey, Andrew, you need to repent of your sin. And if Andrew is still unrepentant, then guess what? He's not welcome here anymore. And based on what God's word says, we say, you're not forgiven. You right now, and where two or three are gathered in my name, so there I am, what that phrase means, as opposed to what we often think it means, what that phrase means is, my authority is with you to say that person is not yet forgiven. We pray for that guy, we pray for Andrew, that he would repent, and then we can say, God has forgiven you. So it is, as we go out from this place, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us we are ministers of reconciliation. We get to go and tell everyone, listen, you have sinned against the holy God, but here's the great news. God has sent his son to die that you might be forgiven. Isn't that incredible? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory. There's not one who does good, not even one. Everyone in this room is on equal footing when they come to this earth. We all walk in rebellion against God. And this whole craziness that the world tries to feed us even seeps into the church. Well, I'm basically a good person. No, you're basically a rebel. You're basically a sinner who is bound for hell, if not for God's grace. So, bad news. That's bad news. By the way, if you want to tell good news, you got to tell the bad news first, right? You're just like, hey, do you want to be saved? Sure. Like, from what? Right? Well, from your sins, which condemn you. But Christ came, lived the perfect life, went to the cross willingly, laid down his life for you and I, puts my sin and your sin upon himself, and the wrath of God that was due us is put on Christ in our stead. That whoever would believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. And in case we didn't believe that what he did on the cross was actually true, he rose again on the third day, proving that he had defeated sin and Satan and death. And one day soon, he will come and reign over all of creation. And I pray this morning that everyone knows the power of the gospel in your life, that you have repented of your sin and placed your trust in him. And if not, that this morning, as I say these things, that you would hear God say your voice, and that for the first time, you would lay down your pride and you would humble yourself before him and confess that you're a sinner, believe on him, and then walk in his ways for the rest of your life. That's our prayer for you today. So that's the mission that you and I get to go on every week as believers, every day until he returns. Why is he not yet back? Because there's somebody that still needs to be saved. Okay? I don't know about you. I don't need to stay here any longer. Right? I'm ready for glory. Anybody here ready for glory? Anybody to be ready to be with the King? Like, yes, Jesus, now. Why not yet? Because there's still somebody to get saved. Maybe they're in this room, they'll get saved, and we're out of here before lunch. Huh? I'm ready. Praise God. Let him have his way in our lives. Some low-hanging fruit, guys. Wednesday, we're having a Christianity Explored meeting. It's on your apps. If you have the Church Center app, if you're still, like, you're, I don't even know what the app is. There's a table there called the Connect table. But we're doing a thing called Christianity Explored. We've been doing it for a while in the church. But what is Christianity Explored for? It's for that person who has questions still. You've been having some conversations with them, but they have not yet ready to confess Christ. They want to know more. Well, you bring them to that. It's 7 weeks long, right? And you just encourage them, like, listen, I still got questions, right? Let's go together and we'll learn more about who Christ is for that 7 weeks. How do we know where somebody's at with Christ? You ask them. Sometimes we get so in our heads about evangelism. It's hard for sure. We need courage, but you can just simply ask them. I did this last week. I was like, "Hey, where are you at with God?" I've never had somebody yell and scream at me from that question. They might say, "I don't believe, and I don't want to talk about it." Okay, now you know. Or they might be, I think there's a God, and I'm not sure. Well, hey, can I just encourage you? Like, I think this is an eternal weight of this question that you're asking. Like, I do believe that after we die, there's heaven or hell, and I want to just encourage you to get answers for your questions, because they're really important. Don't keep putting it off. Hey, let's go to Christianity Explore together this week. Okay? So, amen? Okay, you got somebody in mind? Is the Spirit kind of just like, yeah, I actually know somebody. I think that might fit. If I don't, I'm asking God to give me someone. Or I'm just going to ask. I don't know yet, but I'm going to ask and see what God might do through that. That's the amazing thing. You want to see God's power at work? It takes you to have faith and take that step. Because you don't know what the answer is going to be to that question. But then here's the cool part. The Spirit of God who's filled you will give you wisdom and direction after you begin the conversation. It's not up to you. He'll give you the words as needed. All right. Power of the resurrection. Lastly, it takes you from doubt to declaration. Last guy here is Thomas, and we find that Thomas wasn't at church on Sunday. Not a great Sunday to miss, huh? The resurrected Lord had showed up, and he wasn't there. Verse 24, now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. I pray that as you come on Sunday mornings, you come with a sense of anticipation that God's going to do something incredible. Like, is that how you come to church? Or you're like, oh, let's hope I can survive. I don't know how long that pastor's going to talk this week. All right, I don't know. I guess I feel guilty. I guess we'll go. I'm praying like you're just like, okay, Lord, you call us to gather together. You bless the gathering of your people. You say it over and over again. I am anticipating that the God who is over this church is going to do something different, like amazing in our lives, and that we're going to leave here different than what we came in. That should be the anticipation. Because of the power of the Word of God in our lives, we ought to leave differently than what we came in. We ought to leave better worshipers, and we ought to leave ready to proclaim the Word of God every week, that pattern. But sometimes we can be like Thomas. I like J.C. Ryle's insight on this. He said, you know, where was Thomas? Well, he was probably, like some of us in this room, when things get hard, I just want to be by myself. And you isolate yourself. Thomas maybe just in a room by himself, still trying to mull over everything that's happened. He's in distress, he's in sorrow, but he's by himself. He's not using the body of Christ to come alongside and to care. He's isolated himself. So can I just, again, maybe you don't go to church, or maybe you used to go to church, can I just encourage you that the church, God uses the gathering of his people in a unique way. And can I just encourage you to consider getting back into the discipline of coming and gathering. So he misses church. The other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. Like, bad week to miss, right? Okay, you're like, you should have been there. He was there. And he's like, oh, cool. I can't wait to meet him again. Is that what he says? He says, no, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. I can't believe it. Which you're like, okay, it's the rest of the disciples are like, hey, Thomas, this has happened. This happened. I know when Mary first came and said, we were like, oh, okay. But then we've seen him. We've seen him too. You got to believe. He's like, I'm not going to believe unless I see. I love the fact that we have such a personal God, and he takes some of you who are super stubborn, right? Super prideful. And you're like, I got to, you know, and he's just like, okay, I'm going to meet you where you're at. This is exactly what he's going to do with Thomas. He knows where Thomas is at. By the way, as Thomas is saying these things, Jesus hears, okay? He knows. And some of you are doubting this morning. Some of you are wrestling. Can I just tell you, that's normal. That's okay. But don't stay in the doubting. Don't stay in the wrestling. Keep pushing forward. Get answers to your questions. 8 days later, okay? So 8 days of him kind of, everybody else is like, woohoo, I can't believe it. We're just waiting on the Spirit now, right? And Thomas is like, I don't, just like, whatever. I'm just going to go do my own thing. But thankfully, he's with the guys the next time. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Right? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, head went by, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, now Monday, they're gathered together and Jesus shows up. And now he turns his attention to Thomas. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Like, God is so good, right? So gracious, so merciful. Hey, Thomas. I actually heard what you were saying before. Stop disbelieving. Believe. Here. Touch the wounds. You think Thomas needed to do that at that point? He did not need to do that. Instead, he says this, my Lord and my God, doubt is gone, faith has come, and he cries out, my Lord and my God. In a conversation between services, there's a young guy praying for him. He's trying to wrestle. Can I believe in God and have salvation and do my own thing? He wants that. Unfortunately, there's a lot of us in this room that want that. We want Jesus as our Savior, but not as our Lord. It's not how it works. It's not how it works. You need all of him. And we need to be able to say, as Thomas says here, my Lord and my God, my Master, I am your servant. I will do whatever you call me to do for the rest of my life. And Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. I don't think Thomas is being rebuked here. I think instead what he's saying is, that's awesome that you believe because you've seen, but so much more of those blessed in this room in 2025 who have never seen the resurrected Lord and yet believe. Not just a little, not just like we have some head knowledge here, like, yeah, you know, I am a bad person. And I do think he was real, and I do think he died, but, you know, and I don't want to go to hell. Like, it needs to be so much more than that, our belief. It changes the whole direction of our lives. That's what true faith in Christ should be. So if you're doubting here this morning, keep wrestling. Get answers. Don't stop looking for answers. I remember one of my profs. He was sharing with a neighbor, and the neighbor's like, I don't want to hear it. He's like, okay. don't go dying on me. And the guy was like, what do you mean by that? He goes, well, if you die, it's not going to turn out well for you. And he was, a few days later, he's at church, and he in their church, he could look out and see in the foyer, and this guy's like pacing back and forth out in the foyer. He's like, I haven't slept for the last 3 days because you said, no, don't go dying on me. And I was like, I got to hear what you have to say. And he came to faith in Christ. Isn't that awesome? Right? So if you're wrestling today, don't cease from wrestling. Keep looking. And well, I believe that as you seek the Lord, you will find him. And he will gently whisper your name, and he will make you your child, make you his child. He ends the book by saying there, ends this chapter by saying this. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which were not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Why is this all written in the Gospel of John? So that you might know. So that you would, your doubts would cease. And if I can encourage you this morning, if you have doubts, read the Gospel of John. The whole point of the book is so that you may know that he is the Son of God, that you might know that he is the Messiah, and that as a result of that, you might have life. And not just life on this earth, but eternal life in him. Do you believe this morning? Not just simply accepting a set of facts, but do you believe with your whole being? Is Christ your master and your God? Is he over all of your life? Are you walking in obedience to the mission through courageous evangelism? The mission that God has given us to do, to go into all the world through the power of the Holy Spirit, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Are we doing that? Or would you rather stay in anxiety, fear, and doubt instead of adoration, faith, and declaration? Such a difference the resurrection makes. Radically changed every person's life. And I pray that if you're in Christ today, the fact that Christ has risen from the dead has radically changed your life. And that from now until we breathe our last, we'll be ambassadors for him. Cannot do it in your own strength, but praise God, he's given us this Holy Spirit to enable us, to empower us to go into all the world declaring his name. Amen. Amen. Let me pray. Lord, we're so thankful for our time together this morning. God, I do pray, Lord, that you would be honored, that you would be glorified through us. God, if there's anyone here who's never placed their faith and trust in you, God, we're asking, would you be merciful? Would you be gracious? Would you save them this morning? And then for those of us who are in Christ, God, forgive us for shrinking back. Forgive us for not proclaiming you as you ought to, as we ought to. But God, we pray, Lord, would you strengthen us? Would you help us? Would you remind us that you have risen? Would you remind us that we now have the Spirit of God living within us? And that by your power, we're more than able to be conquerors. So it's in your name we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing together.
Thanks for listening to this sermon from Redemption Church, Calgary North. We exist to see lost people saved, saved people matured, and mature people multiplied, all to the glory of God. For more information, visit us online at redemption.ca.